You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Let's all stand to our feet. Stand on one leg. No. How many were born at a very young age? Would you say amen? You actually said amen like that was a revelation, y'all. Praise God. We're going to have a good time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have given us an opportunity to be born into this world, into this earth, and into the kingdom of God for such a time as this. We thank you that marriage is your idea. It is your idea. It's not just a piece of paper. It's not just a legal form from a state or from a civil government. It is, Lord God, a sacrament, a holy covenant that gives us so much power. We thank you. One, she'll put 1,000 to flight, but two, she'll put 10,000 to flight. And when I married Debbie, I became 9,000 times stronger. Hallelujah. She's my 9,000 times stronger. And I thank you that, Lord, when we're hooked up with you, when we're hooked up with your plan, when we work it, it works. We thank you for successful marriages. We are one successful marriage. And Father, those who are here that are single by divorce, by death, by choice, by gift, and they're just curious or they're just hungry or they just want to get information, Lord, I thank you for the wisdom of God that calls them into this time to receive, Father God, preventative maintenance, Lord, good information, stuff that'll help them make the right choices, the holy choices. And we thank you for these men and women of God who have good marriages or great marriages or absolutely perfect marriages, that it's going to get even better. We thank you for this investment of time on a Friday night. Bless these, Lord, when they could be doing so many other things, that they've invested in the things of your word, the things of your spirit, and invested truly in their marriage and in their future relationships if they're single. Father, we thank you for speaking through us as your vessels, Father. And may the Holy Ghost take your word and take these truths and take these principles and apply them to each and every one as they have need, Father. Thank you for impartation. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for manifestation and demonstration. In Jesus' mighty name, give God a good shout. Thank God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. Praise the Lord. This is my precious, precious wife, Deborah. We have been married almost 29 years this August, and we have 7 children, 2 sons-in-laws, 2 dogs, and 2 goldfish, and we just butchered 18 chickens. So that's who we are at, you know. And, you know, we just thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be part of this holy church, this great church, and this great body. And behind this holy desk, we count it an honor. We never take it for granted. We're thankful. We're humbled. We count it a privilege to be saved. Yes. Amen. Amen. We count it a privilege to be called and anointed and appointed by God, you know. And pastoring is one of those things that you don't pick like a career, like a doctor, or I think I'll be a doctor, I think I'll be a musician. It's a calling. Amen. And when I finally surrendered, I said yes just yesterday to that call. I just want you to know. No, I said yesterday, I said yes to the Lord yesterday and the day before that and the day before that, you know, 20-some years ago, praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Well, how many have your celibacies with you? Now, we have a time challenge here because there's a lot of material. And if we go too fast, just get with somebody that's already written it down. Don't call us. But just try to get the tape or the CD or the DVD. And we want to welcome all of you that are watching by television as well. Amen. This will be good for your library and future reference. And in fact, it'll be good for your church and good for you, Pastor, if you're watching too. God bless you. All right. We're talking about we are one successful marriage, and we are one successful marriage. Miss Debbie and I, hallelujah, have been married almost 29 years, and all of our kids are serving the Lord, spirit-filled and born again. And We've never been a perfect family, never been a perfect marriage, but we are committed to the process. Amen. And marriage is work, but it's rewarding work. You have to work it. Isn't that right? Amen. But it's much more work to do it against God's word. Hallelujah. So I want you to, first of all, open up to your first title page and just put your name on the first outside page. please print so you can read who you are. And if you want to put 08, they'll kind of just show you where 08 was a year. You know, by the way, the word 8, probably Pastor will teach on this or has already, but 8 means it's a superabundant number, and it means a number of new beginnings, a rebirth, a resurrection, and a new era, a new start. Praise God. So, and you know, because of the carnage that divorce has caused, even in the local church, divorce rate is about the same as it is in the world. The fallout, the carnage, the horrible stories of divorce. Divorce is a walking death. My own family, my brother went through divorce and was single for 18 years and finally got remarried after all those years. But the hurt that that causes is unbelievable. So we know that these are things, these are truths, these are principles that you have heard before or have, you know, kind of heard about before, read about. And this is really foundational. We have another marriage seminar called Staying All the Way, and that's for exclusively for married couples, Staying All the Way. But we're going to start with a foundational teaching tonight, and we're going to do our best to get as much across as we can, praise the Lord, before Jesus comes. And if he comes, y'all don't mind, don't you? All right. Breaking the ice and warming the heart. There's a billboard that some of you have seen that are all over the country, and they're black and white billboards. And one we saw impressed us. We wrote it down here. It said, "Love the wedding, invite me to the marriage." And a lot of folks prepare more for a birthday, more for a holiday, more for Christmas than they do their marriage. Yeah. It's an amazing thing. Pastor, you know, and Pastor Ranch, you know, that you get these calls throughout the year. Well, we want to get married. Well, why do you want to get married? Well, we like the same country songs. We like the same sandwiches. You know, we just fell in love last Friday. And you hear it all, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you ask them why they want to get married, they don't have a clue. Yeah. And so it's scary that they're preparing more for a birthday party or a Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas than they are their own marriage. And they're more concerned about how the candles look and the flowers and the photographer and the setting and all that Cinderella type stuff. And that's wonderful, and I'm all for all that. But the real foundation needs to be Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Amen. All right? So when we talk about breaking the ice and warming the heart, we're talking about how we need to understand that when problems take place, you'll do one of three things. Number one, you'll cop out through denial and escapism and addictions. People just cop out. You know, they run to the bar, they run to whatever hobbies they have, or they even become workaholics. Coexist. They begin to coexist. They put up with unproductive repetition, tolerant attitudes with war in your heart and stress in their life. And they just, in other words, they leave the things the way they are. It's like one fellow said, you know, if I told her 30 years ago I loved her, and if I change my mind, I'll just let her know. You know, that's a marriage doomed for failure. You know, it's destined for failure. Or when problems take place, you can, number three, create. You can be creative. You can create a winner's attitude of flexibility, forgiveness, love, optimism, and I can do spirit. You know, when you go to church like this, you can't help but learn and receive and grow if you're hungry. Hallelujah. And God says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he says, I've set heaven and earth to record against you to this day, life and death, you know, blessing, cursing. Then he goes, psst. He doesn't actually say psst, but I say psst. Yeah. Choose life. Everybody say psst. Turn to somebody. Say, choose life. You got to choose it, folks. Amen. And who? Which do you choose? You choose life? How many want the life of God in your life? Amen. How many choose prosperity over poverty? Amen. That's a form of. How many choose health over sickness? Amen. Well, why don't we choose life in our marriages? Amen. Life in our relationships, all right? By the way, these seminars do one of two things. Either they solve marriage problems or create new ones. depending on your hunger level and your humble level. Isn't that right? So humility, breaking the ice. We need to break the ice, the hard heart, the pride. We need to realize that humility is the fire. It's the fire that melts the layers of ice from the past. You know, you can get crystallized and you can get hard-hearted, but the fire of humility breaks and melts all that ice, praise God. And so in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, you could add that 13 in there. The Bible talks about, you have all heard this, you know, Paul said, I don't pretend to have arrived, but one thing I do, I press on. I press on to what things are lying ahead. In other words, don't let your past control your future. And that happens, you know, with marriages all the time. Familiarity gets in. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So we need to recognize problems and blocks and hindrances and just fix it with humility. You know, some of you might have a tractor, you might have a field, you might have machinery. If it breaks down, you don't stand out in the field and cry. You know, when you go ice skating, well, you don't have ice down here. But anyway, when you go, we just left just in time. 15 inches of snow just hit us after we left, you know. And our kids love it because school's all canceled and everything's shut down and they get to, you know, work on loving each other in a closed house. Hallelujah. But, you know, we have ice and ice ponds and ice skating and so on. But, you know, if you fall down ice skating, you don't sit there till the spring thaw and drown, right?
Yeah.
You don't sit there and wait and whine and cry. You just fix it. So all divorce is a result of somebody was not clothed with humility. It's really somebody insisted on their own way. And so all marriage counseling comes down to admit it and quit it. I told a psychiatrist that. I said, I can save you a lot of time and save your patients a lot of money. I said, I'll give you one quote. He said, I don't know if I want to hear that or not. But it really comes down to admit it and quit it. So the strength and success of a nation is reflected in the success and strength of the Christian family.
Amen.
Strength and success equals morality and righteousness. Did you know that you can be strong physically, you can be successful financially, but be a failure with God if you're not holy? How many know there's godly riches and there's ungodly riches, right? Wicked riches. And so we want to do things God's way. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. All right? And God and the Word give life, power, character, anointing, and a divine nature. So we need to understand that we need to do it by God's way. He is divine and we are the branch. Amen?
Amen.
And the Word works when you work it. And the Word works against you when you don't work it. There was a bunch of ants that made a colony on a tee off on a golf course, a tee area where they tee off. I don't know what you call that, the tee off area. And man, this one ant was watching this, and he noticed these big humans would come and they'd hit the dirt, and away would go a bunch of ants just right into eternity. Into ant heaven. This is a stupid story, but I like it. It's corny as they get. But this ant's watching this with his other friend, his other ant friend. Not his aunt, not his uncle, but his ant friend. And he said, you know, if we don't get on the ball, we're going to get killed. So anyway. I was out golfing with Alfonso Vargas, good friend of mine, born in Mexico, lives in Austin, and known Alfonso a long time ago. And he'll just call me in the middle of the winter and tell me what the weather is, you know, and how he's golfing. He loves to golf. So we went golfing one time when he was up in Michigan, and I just kept hitting these divots, you know, just knocking the dirt out. And he said, what is wrong with you? You can't hit the ball. I said, my name is Divot, for we are many. Anyway, he said, he just kind of looked at me and said, stay in Jesus' name. All right. So, and God, and the Word works. The Word works when you work it, and it doesn't work when you don't work it. So the very thing that's supposed to work for you can work again. I mean, you confirm the Word either way you go.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? So, anyway, we have found, Debbie and I have found, and all of you have found, that our nation needs something. Our nation needs healing. It's out of godly order. And why? Because of sin. Sin is, it's not the political, you know, the political thing that's going on is a circus, if you don't mind me opinionating. It's a little bit of a circus, and what America needs is Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, I don't know what party you are of, but I'm of, I believe in God.
Amen.
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 And so, as we see in 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, half of Christians' marriages end in divorce. And in the promise in 2 Chronicles, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, you know, seek my face and repent from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. And guess what? I believe we haven't had a terrorist attack in our land since 9/11 because of the church. I mean, even the FBI, CIA, Homeland Security cannot figure out why we haven't had one. But I'll tell you why. It's a praying church.
Amen.
And if we can keep our marriages right, if we can keep our individual hearts right and our marriages right and our churches right, we can be the salt and light that actually preserves our nation and brings it around. And something that's out of order means it's sick. It has sickness in it. And so number three here, a sick nation is a result of sick churches. I mean, if we believe we're the salt and the light, if our nation is sick, then our churches are sick. You know, one of the reasons why certain states vote in the wrong politicians too many times is because the church was asleep at the wheel. The church has been that proverbial ostrich with their head in the sand. You know, we're just so heavenly minded. We don't need to get involved in this. Well, Paul appealed to his heavenly citizenship, but his Roman citizenship, didn't he, when he was being persecuted? Mm-hmm. And so sick churches are a result of sick homes. And sick homes are a result of something's out of order, out of godly order. So this leads to a life of cancellation. We cancel the blessings on our nation, on our church, on our cities, on our churches, and even in our home. A good friend of ours who's a partner with us, and we're on his board and he's on our board, Reverend Terry Mize, the church is the worst thing God has. He was asked by a Jamaican national pastor and said, "Brother Terry, what's the worst thing we have, a hindrance that can stop us from reaching our island nation of Jamaica?" And he says, "Well, that's easy, to the church." He says, "Well, then what's the best thing that we have to reach our island nation of Jamaica?" He said, "Well, that's easy, to the church." Because the church is the only thing God has. It's the worst thing God has and the best thing God has. So look around. We're it.
Amen.
I mean, as far as, you know, I mean, you're not it. I mean, this isn't a cult. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're it as far as the body of Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
We're it. We're it. And we need to be the church. Praise God.
Amen.
How do we get in this mess as a nation? How do we get out of sorts with the plan of God? You know, our forefathers would not even consider the modern-day American a distant cousin to a true American, because we've left the fundamentals of what America is all about. You know, before you could even be a legislator or a judge, you had to be an ordained minister. Because how could you determine or judge truth if you didn't have the Bible in your life? That was the thinking. And today it's all political correctness, value clarification, whatever the culture says, whatever's fashionable, whatever pretty and for color. You know, it's weird. We've become cosmetic. So how do we get here as a nation? 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. You know that. It says men will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. In other words, they'll be full of lust. Lust desires to get at the lust versus love. Lust versus love. Lust desires to get to gratify self at the expense of others. But love desires to give at the expense of self. Hallelujah. To give to gratify others at the expense of self. So when we look at the most dangerous thing, the most dangerous word to the body of Christ, the most dangerous word to a relationship with God, the most dangerous word to a relationship with your spouse or any human being or even a church or a business for that matter, the most dangerous word, which is the most subtle, is the word neglect. Neglect is the most dangerous because it's so subtle. Neglect of helpful knowledge, marriage seminars, marriage material. I would bet, on an average, if we went to some of our Christian homes, we would find subscriptions to newspapers, magazines, Better Homes and Gardens, Country Living, horsemanship, I don't know, and all kinds of money spent on that kind of thing, but very little in resources of how to build a successful marriage. And we need to build. If you don't have a library of resources to make your marriage better, then I would include that idea in your investment of material and resources. Neglect of proper biblical priorities in communication, neglect and proper priorities in intimacy, and in finances. It's okay to buy books on these things, communication. There's a book out there, and I didn't bring the author's name with me, but it's been out a while, just recently, probably within a year. It's called Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti. You ever heard of that book? No? Well, women are like spaghetti in the fact that, like a bowl of spaghetti, everything's connected. So when you talk about their cooking, you're talking about them. You know, with men, it's like tomorrow at the breakfast, if brother so-and-so, who's ever cooking, burns it, we go, hey, that's burnt. He says, it is? Well, I'll just fix it. You tell a woman that, and you say, honey, this is a burnt sacrifice. You know, she might not cook the rest of the week for you. You'll lose weight that way. Everything's connected. But men are like waffles. We've got these little compartments. We have even a compartment that's called the do-nothing compartment. How you doing, honey? We got another compartment going, TV, sports, remote control, easy chair. Then we're back to the do-nothing compartment. And all the men go, yeah. Right? It's a great book. Anyway. Neglect brings apathy and indifference. The I don't cares. Let it all hang out, you know. You know, you started off, you know, in a honeymoon effect. You know, you washed up before you went to bed and you brushed your teeth and gargled and made sure that you were presentable before you went to bed. And after so many years goes by, she puts green paint on her face, and, you know, her hair and beer can curlers and, you know, and he's like hadn't showered in 2 days, you know. Hey, once a week, I conserve. Anyway, and they just let it all hang out. They just let it all go. I don't cares. And that's neglect. And it's subtle. It happens year after year. You have to work at breaking the ice. You have to work at keeping a good marriage. Lawlessness is the result. Self-serving and selfish demands that leads to lust and abuse. Neglect, apathy, and lawlessness open the door to sin, sickness, poverty, insecurity, strife, division, and demonic manifestations. Competitive nature takes over. Neglect is simply not doing what you know you need to do, right? We are to complete, not compete. Say, I am to complete, not compete. And, you know, by the way, I forgot to mention this at the outset. Everything we're teaching, Pastor, we submit it to you as the head of this church. And if there's something that's not quite the way you would teach it and so on, at least we'll leave town and you can fix it after we go. But you all should submit this to your pastor if you have some things. You have some differences of opinions, that's fine with me. Jan and Debbie know we're right no matter what. We're humble. And we're proud of it. Hallelujah. Destructive attitudes that we need to melt. We need to just destroy these attitudes. The one attitude is accept things the way they are. You need not to accept the things the way they are. Just because they are what they are doesn't mean they're not subject to change. If you keep doing what you've always done, you keep getting what you've always got. Isn't that right? It's one of the descriptions of insanity right there. And a lot of folks, you know, when they go grocery shopping and they look in the fruit market and the vegetable section or whatever, how many of you know, you ladies, when you go looking for fruit and vegetables, you don't look for any old rotten head of lettuce. You pick out the best that money can buy. You look for the best, right? You look for the best. But some folks, they just put their worst out there. They just don't care. They look for the worst. They look for the best, the worst instead of the best. Number two, put your worst at work. That's an attitude you need to melt. You put your worst at work. Impulsive, reactionary lifestyle, flesh. Well, you pick on me, I'll pick on you. You insult me, I'll insult you. You throw a dish at me, I'll throw a dish at you. Some of you are down to one plate and one glass. You've made designs on your table with all the stuff that you used to throw at each other, you know. So you need to stop doing that. There's other ways of fixing things. You know, silent treatment and all that stuff. That's bad. Hallelujah. By the way, if something does strike a nerve, just don't laugh too hard because everybody will know. And if you know somebody else that's this applies to, just laugh with them because they won't feel so lonely. Hallelujah. Another attitude we need to get rid of is selfish demands. No thought of the spouse, using each other. Putting spouse down to build up self and competitive and critical nature. I mean, we remember having a missionary in, and he's describing, pouring out his heart, and his wife gets up, grabs a microphone, and starts correcting him in front of our people. We never had them back again. You just don't disrespect each other. You just don't do that. You don't make, it's not funny to make wife jokes. Take my wife, please. You know, stuff like that. You know, the old Jack Benny, never mind, that was before dirt, but anyway. But you know what I'm saying? It's not popular, it's not right, and it's not godly, and God doesn't like it when you make fun of your spouse.
That's right, that's right.
Now, blondes, that's a different story. I mean, it's okay here, I guess. It's all right everywhere. Reminds me of a blonde joke they'll save for Sunday. Thank you very much. Hold it back. Hold it back, Jan. Take it easy, boy. Whoa. The joke anointing's coming on me right now. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Pastor? Pastor, hello. All right. Making selfish demands with no thought of spouse. Putting spouse down. And number five, disrespect towards spouse. Boy, if there's anything that can kill a relationship is the lack of respect. Another attitude to melt is doing what's convenient instead of what's necessary. You know, I'll just do what's convenient. You know, we need to have thoughtfulness when we are married. Thoughtfulness. Y'all have thermostats on your wall? She likes it warm. You like it cool. She likes blankets. You don't. Toothpaste squeezed in the middle or in the front? No toothpaste. Toothpaste ripped open in the middle. I mean, it's amazing what ends up in marriage counseling. Hallelujah. It all started with toothpaste. Yeah, right. And we have to get rid of the superiority attitude that you're a legend in your own mind. I did it my way. The Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. And remember, this is a marriage. You're seeking each other's good. It's not 50-50, it's 100-100. Amen. Another attitude to get rid of is number eight, pride, that won't admit it or quit it. You know, never say you're wrong. Just say you're sorry. Well, that's not dealing with stuff. You know, saying you're sorry just puts something in a warehouse of artillery to be used at a later date. It never deals with anything. Yeah, when my kids were younger, some of the kids, maybe one of them might be here tonight, but when they would get in a fight and we'd settle the fight and find out, all right, now apologize to her. And I'm sorry, you know. Well, you know, how many know that's really not the fruit of repentance right there? They're just sorry they got caught. They're just sorry they're being disciplined. But it's when you come clothed with humility one toward another. Honey, I just want you to ask you to forgive me for having an attitude towards you because I knew I was right, but you just had this attitude, and I forgive you, but please forgive me. I mean, when you manipulate that, that just sounds real. You can say something really humble in the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right? You can say, well, she's beautiful, or you can say, you look like the end of a long, hard winter. You know, it's two ways of saying everything, right? Yeah, all right, well, I knew what I meant. It was good.
Okay.
I'm reviewing that right now, just a minute. All right, well, there's two ways of saying everything, you know. You can say, honey, you have beauty that makes time stand still. You could say, she has a face that stops the clock. All right. You got the point? Number nine, dear Lord, will we ever get through this? Thank you, Jesus. An attitude that you need to get rid of is when you reject helpful knowledge, willful ignorance, just willfully not learning, willfully not studying. You know, y'all have the internet, you have libraries, you have Barnes & Noble, you have Starbucks. Anyway, you have, that's not a library. But anyway, you have all those resources, right? And you have to go out of your way to want to be ignorant. And today's deal, right, with all the knowledge around you.
Yeah.
And so another attitude to get rid of is an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit allows the past to control the future. You know, I was in an airport one time, saw an elderly couple, both with hearing aids, and they must have had them both off because they were arguing about a date back 50 years ago. It wasn't July 9th, it was July 11th. How many times have I told you? And they're slapping each other. And it got louder. Then they started cussing each other out. People got up and started moving. It was just like like a pebble in water, just, you know. And I don't want to ever become like that. I want Debbie to agree with everything I say. Right, guys? I mean, you know, that's that ego thing. But, you know, it's that, let's keep things in perspective about what's really important. All right.
Amen. The Lord's vision for us, He gave at the beginning when He made this world. He told us, He put Adam and Eve together. He set a man and a woman together. And He commanded them to be fruitful, to multiply, to reign and rule over this earth. First of all, we're to reflect His character and nature, His oneness. We were made in His image. We were made in the image of God, the three in one. And we have that union wonderfully and supernaturally reflected in the marriage relationship. And secondly, we are to reproduce. We're to multiply and increase. We're to reproduce a godly heritage for the kingdom. Then we are to reign, rule, and win over the earth and the devil.
Amen.
He set us on this earth to rule and to reign, to subdue it, to have dominion over it. And we need to realize in every situation, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath. And you have to understand that many times the attacks that come against you are from the enemy. He hates marriage. He hates marriages. He wants to divide. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But you are more than a conqueror through Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
You have power. You have ability to overcome and to have dominion over and in the face of attack. Then marriage is rewarding work. To increase takes work. It takes effort. You don't always feel like loving one another. You don't always feel those loving feelings. It takes work, it takes a decision, but it's rewarding work.
Amen.
There are five priorities of life that we are going to go over, and priorities are always relationship ordered. First of all, of course, is God. God has to be number one in
Amen.
Your life. And He has to be the Lord. Jesus is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. Secondly, your spouse. Your spouse should be number two. Many times husbands put their careers before their wives, or the wife ends up putting their children before their husbands because we're so involved with our children's lives, and that's a danger in the marriage relationship. Wife, you should fulfill your husband more than his job does.
Amen.
You should be a fulfillment to him and a satisfaction to him beyond anything that he experiences at work. He should want to come home and run to you. Amen. Husbands, you should fulfill your wife more than her children do. She receives those little hugs and kisses and cuddles, and you should be beyond that in her life. Number three are the children. And in today, as I've watched families in our church, and of course we still have children at home ourselves, but I've seen a real reversal of priorities in this area. It seems like children a lot of times run the household, and their schedules are put before anything else, and that is not godly. It's not godly. Children are a blessing, and you are to raise them up to be successful on their own, but your relationship as husband and wife has to come first, or there will be no home for them. You have to invest time in each other. Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. We need to seek things that are good for our family, for the well-being of the family, not just whims, not just cultural things. And of course, the spiritual is the most important. You know, a lot of people, we've had families that won't come Wednesday nights because their kids, you know, have school the next day. Well, our kids always went and still do go on Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what better thing? What else can you do? What better thing can you give them than the Word of God and being in the environment of the Holy Spirit and the atmosphere of the presence of God? And you need to look at what is beneficial for the children, not what they want.
Hallelujah.
Right? Because what they want is what they want, but you know what's best. Father, mother knows best. Amen. Number four is the church. Exodus 25:8 says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. We train by example. How you respond in church, how you act in church, that's how your children are going to see, and they are going to follow that example. Not what you say, but what they see you do. Then number five should be your job. Number five should be your job. There are some scriptures there to encourage you. God gives us work. He gives us the ability to work, but that should be number five on our priority list. Finally, relationships are work. Again, it takes effort. And we thank you all so much for working and being here, for working your schedules out to be here. It takes effort. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just, you know, it doesn't just evolve by itself. Then we need to set our houses in order. As Pastor Jan was saying, we're in a culture that is anti-God, anti-Christ, and we need to be sure that our houses are in order. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world.
Amen.
We are the example that we can show to the world around us. We need to get our things in order and in harmony with God's word for marriage. It doesn't matter what all the psychologists and counselors and television shows tell you. What does God tell you that a marriage should be? What does God tell you that a husband should be to his wife? What does God say that a wife should be to her husband, whether it's popular or not? You know, I went to France a few years ago on a mission trip. Terry Myers teases me because I've only been to Puerto Rico and Paris on mission trips, and he says, that's not really a mission trip. Puerto Vallarta, I'm sorry. Puerto Vallarta, yes, and Paris. But anyway, I was really rough. But I was teaching on, we were teaching a marriage seminar in France, and when I began teaching the women on submission, you should have seen the reaction I got. But you'd have to give the word. It's what God says. It doesn't matter what they think or how they react to you. What does the Bible say? He knows how he made us and how he made it to work.
Amen.
So first of all, we need to repent if there's anything out of order. Purpose to get in agreement with God's word.
Amen.
Like Pastor Jen was saying I'm sorry isn't enough. You have to truly repent from your heart and want to change from your heart. Secondly, the place of agreement is the place of power. When you are in agreement together, that's the place of power. In Matthew 18. Thirdly, we need to bring order, harmony, balance, joy, love, and peace. That's God's standard for us. Romans 14:17 says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, which is right wisdom and right standing with God. Peace. You can have peace in troubled times, no matter what you're going through. You can have the peace of God and joy in the Holy Ghost. Even in times of sorrow, you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. God wants to be the conductor of your marriage to create a harmonious flow. Then to get your house in order, you need to forgive yourself and your spouse. Forgiveness is key in marriage.
Amen.
Forgiveness centers in your will, not your emotions. A lot of times, you know, the last thing you want to do is forgive. It feels good to hold that grudge.
Doesn't it?
It feels good to hold on to that argument that you know you're absolutely right. But we must forgive.
Must forgive.
If we don't forgive, Jesus said, we can't be forgiven. So that's the only answer is, again, to stay in line with the Word of God. And forgiveness centers in your will. It's a decision you make to keep yourself in line with His Word. Forgiveness is an act of obedience to the Word of God. It's an act of obedience. Feelings will follow that obedience. Feelings will follow that obedience. When you decide in your will, I'm going to obey your word, Father. I'm hurting. I'm disappointed. I'm upset. But I choose to forgive.
It's an act of faith.
And then those, amen, it's an act of faith. And those feelings will follow. And then we need to willingly forgive speedily. Willingly forgive speedily. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't hang on to things for 2 or 3 days. Forgive speedily. A good marriage, again, is the union of two forgivers. Jesus said, a house that's divided against itself cannot stand.
You know, the dangers of holding on to grudges can actually break down your immune system and have a physiological effect on you, too.
That's right.
Where you open the door to, really, the devil to hit you with whatever's out there. And there's a story of a sister that had an argument with some brothers. And they said, I never want to see another brother as long as I live. There's some big family blow up. And you know, that sister went blind. She literally did not see her brothers anymore because of unforgiveness caused her to lose her eyesight. And I can't begin to tell you all the stories that perhaps we all have heard about of people that have not dealt with things and let things go and let things steam and feud and marinate, so to speak, to the point where it was beyond repair. They got so hard-hearted, and it opens the door to the devil. And that's a place that you don't want. You know, you play in the devil's backyard, his dog's going to bite you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you walk around with unforgiveness because you feel justified, bad choice. And I understand how you might feel justified. But guess what? It's not an option for a Christian.
Amen.
We have to forgive because it's a command. And Jesus said to, got to do it by faith.
Amen.
And nothing brings you into unity faster than repentance. Because you're repenting from something and having faith toward God. So God and His Word becomes the agreement focus instead of, you know, stuff and feelings or whatever.
Amen.
God and
Amen.
His Word becomes the agreement focus
Amen.
Through repentance.
Amen. We need to let Christ be number one. Oh, and I'm going back to number three. You have to receive your spouse as the perfect gift for you from God. Receive your spouse as a gift from God to you. Behold the king's daughter, husbands.
I married the king's daughter. Have you seen the king's daughter? Here she is. And if you're married to, if you men are married, do you have your spouse with you? Would you raise your hand? If you want to admit it, come on now. All right, look at her and say, I have married you, the king's daughter. Hallelujah. Now, honey, is there something else you want to say?
And why? We married the king's son. Amen. So turn to your husbands, wives that have your husbands here, and say, I married the king's son. Amen. I'm married to royalty.
Got that right, baby.
That's right. But,
you married royalty, y'all.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Married to royalty.
That's right.
You're blood washed, blood bought, and you're a new creature.
Amen. Amen.
In fact, turn to your spouse and say, I married a new critter. Amen. Hallelujah.
We need to let Christ be number one, the central focus of our lives and marriage, and give no place to the enemy.
Amen.
Don't give him any ground. Commitment is a covenant between two wills. If you're going to get married, leave the single life mentality. If you don't want to be married, don't get married. Yeah. Stay single.
Yeah.
But if you want to be married, you have to realize your mindset has to change. You now have to consider another person. Don't try to change your mate. Change yourself. Change yourself, and your mate will respond to
Amen.
The changes in you.
Excellent.
Love is spelled
T-I-M-E.
Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Time together is giving in to each other's interests.
Amen.
Ladies, if your husband likes football, and instead of resenting the time that he spends in front of the TV yelling at the football, yelling at the TV, or at games, or if he enjoys sports, learn about the sports that he enjoys and be with him, right? It's a lot easier than resenting him for all the time that he spends away from you. Go with him. Sit beside him. Yell with him at the TV and the dumb refs. Mom.
She's the one that yells at the television.
Yeah.
Let me just interject on the other side of this. If she likes figure skating,
Watch figure skating.
Watch it with her.
That's right.
And I've always wondered why do men wear leotards? I just don't get that. Anyway, spandex.
Okay.
Weird. I'll watch. Well, God's watching right now. I'll watch some of it with her. But you have to work at it, don't you?
And men, if she enjoys shopping. Learn to hold a lot of hangers in your hand.
Back off.
Ouch. I know that we'll pray for ribs later. But anyway, you understand what we're saying. You have to give time to each other. And again, that goes back to making a decision of your will and the self-sacrifice. God loved us while we were yet sinners. We need to love regardless of one another's faults.
Amen.
We need to love regardless of one another's faults.
You know, when we were in France with Jean-Paul Josette, they were doing the interpretation for this marriage seminar. And we got to a place where we started talking about, when she goes shopping, I like to go shopping with her because I like to be with her. And I got in trouble with the men. He says, Brother Jan, he says, I'm in trouble with Josette. And all the men are in trouble. I don't know if they like this, you know. But, you know, he was kidding, of course. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about living a crucified lifestyle, basically. Amen? And how many know if you guys don't like shopping, that's a crucified lifestyle. I'm telling you right now, doing what she likes to do. Hallelujah. And some of you guys, you'll go shopping hoping there'll be a sports section. You know. Let's go to another section here. And
amen.
Yeah. Well, as long as you get revelation, even if it's delayed, that's okay. Like Pastor says, you might get it about late tonight or something. You'll get that revelation. Constructive attitudes for marriage to have. Be humble, teachable, and open to positive change. Refuse status quo marriage. Responsive lifestyle to the Holy Spirit. Put your best at work. Put your best at work. Be excellent. Y'all get phone calls from telemarketers here? You ever get phone calls around dinner time or something? You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes folks can be having a heated argument or a heated discussion, and they're at each other. They're going at it. A stranger calls, or maybe a neighbor down the road. And you go, how y'all doing? You get all smiley, and your spouse is about to kill you with a fork, man. But you're all you know, mean at each other and then smiley with a complete stranger. That's just not good. What are you saying, Pastor Jan, be mad at the person that calls to? Absolutely not. Responsive lifestyle to the Holy Spirit, excuse me. Put your best at work, excellence. Seek to minister to the needs of your spouse with no thought of self. Just like Jesus said. Just like Jesus did for the joy that was set before him, right? He went to the cross. Compliment and edify. Build up your spouse. You know, there's a story of a woman. She's in a restaurant. It's kind of between lunch and dinner. She's been on the road traveling. And she's sitting there and waiting for a waitress. And there's a jar of peanuts sitting there. And she hears this compliment. Nice suit. She looks around. No one there. Nice shoes. Looks around. No one there. Nice purse. No one there. And then the waitress comes over. And she says, well, I'm ready to take your order, ma'am. Are you ready? She says, yeah, I am. But, you know, before I give you my order, I got to ask you, I'm hearing these compliments. She says, what are they saying? Nice suit, nice purse. She says, oh, those are complimentary peanuts. Anyway. Take your eraser right now and... You know, it's not healthy when you compliment another person, men and especially another lady, in front of your wife and not compliment her. You understand? You need to compliment your wife.
That's
and you
right.
need to compliment your husband as well. Value and respect your spouse. Do what is necessary. We make this marriage work God's way. Amen. You have to determine to do that. A good constructive attitude is to have humility that admits it and quits it. And have a we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us attitude. Amen. Say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus.
I can do all things through Christ
all right.
Jesus.
Receive helpful knowledge. Do everything for the good of the relationship, not for the good of the end of yourself. Right? This isn't about self-preservation. This is about what's good for the relationship. And forgive by faith, based on God's word that Miss Debbie talked about. Forget the past. It's thrown in the lake of forgetfulness where there's a no fishing sign posted, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Enjoyable exercises to involve yourself in. be discontent with mediocrity, and desire excellence. How many believe that we should be progressing, we should be growing, we should move from where we're at to where we need to be? You can improve your word vocabulary. You can improve your intelligence. You can improve your knowledge. You can improve your skills. You can improve your relationship with your spouse. You can make it a honeymoon on earth. Amen. I said amen. Hallelujah. Well, we didn't get to go on a honeymoon. Well, your honeymoon really isn't a location. It's an attitude. Isn't that right? Develop and build your relationship. This is quality time. Build your relationship. Now, how many know what a doctor's appointment is? You set an appointment, dentist appointment, you set an appointment, and you have to be there at that designated time. You should have a time where you set up a time, a day, where you and your spouse, you and your loved one, you and your fiancé go out to eat. It should be your night. Like Monday night would be your night, or Friday night would be your night. You make it your night. You make an appointment with your family at dinner time. You schedule the priorities of your relationship, you know, in the right order. Reprioritize our priorities is what we need to do. We need to take priority time with things of eternal value. Isn't that right?
Amen.
No man on his deathbed asked for more tea time on the greens at golf. No man in his right mind asked for more overtime at work on his deathbed. He wishes he had more time with his wife and with his children and grandchildren. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Things
That's
that really, really matter.
That's right.
Plan your work and work your plan and get and stay committed. Now, I'm just going to read to you a few things about commitment real quick. And this is out of our other seminar called Staying All the Way. But commitment is a choice. It is a choice. It's not in your notes, but you can write it down. It's a choice. Commitment is a choice to invest in your marriage. Commitment is trust. Commitment requires endurance. And commitment takes time. Isn't that right? It really does. And when you look at what commitment is, Dr. Ed Cole talks about what commitment is. Commitment is following through on a decision made in a time of emotion. You know, pastor might have stood up someday and said, all right, we're having work day Saturday morning. Everybody's getting caught up in the moment, the emotion of it, raising their hands. I'll be there. And all those 50 people that raise their hands, only, you know, maybe 10 of them show up. Well, they got caught in the emotion of the moment. But when it came to Saturday morning where they had to get out of bed early and work when it was such a nice day and all the things they're thinking of what they could do at home, they were faced with themselves. Adversity introduces a man to himself. And character is what you are under pressure. What you are in secret is who you really are. So commitment is following through on a decision that you made in a time of emotion. All right. Receive your mate as a gift from God. Go ahead, if you're married, go ahead or engaged. Go ahead and look to your spouse or spouse-to-be and say, I receive you as a gift from God. Hallelujah. And if you like that new critter, you go ahead and tell that new critter, you receive that new critter as a gift from God. Amen. By the way, you know what's cool about being born again, Pastor? Is that God gives us permission to fly where the eagles fly.
Amen.
He gives us permission to change. We need to give our spouse permission to change. Amen.
Amen.
So Debbie's a praying and a hoping. Hallelujah. Say things that reflect attention. Affection and appreciation. Say things that reflect attention. Give attention to her. Give attention to him. And give affection. And when you come in the door, gentlemen, say, what's that beautiful, sweet smell I smell? Is that the smell of a beautiful homemade dinner? Man, give her a hug, you know, and just tell her you appreciate her doing that. Don't say, well, what are you making that for? You know, listen, be nice. Where there's tension, give attention. If there's tension, give attention to it. Give attention to her or him. Seek to understand and stay away from irritations. In other words, find out what irritates him or her and stay far from it. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Don't try to find out what pushes his button and then stick a knife in there and twist it. Let peace and love rule your life, marriage and home. Did you get anything out of this so far? All those who are born again, say amen.
Amen.
All those who are asleep, say amen.
Amen.
You say amen to anything.
Gotcha.
You know? All those who like to say amen, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I figured out, you know, I was getting my mom's cell phone straightened out, and Dad had passed away about a year ago, and I found out how to cure the high divorce rate in this country. Just have the cell phone companies drop the contracts for a marriage. It's easier. It's hard to get out of those contracts, isn't it right? You know what I'm talking about? So, hey, we're on page 10. Y'all ready? All right, page 10. These can keep your marriage strong or destroy it. Communication, intimacy, and finances. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that we're to communicate that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Communication is so important. We need to edify and communicate edification to our spouse. Amen? And then intimacy. Intimacy, in Thessalonians 4:9, it says, you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. God teaches us how to love. God so loved the world that He gave. And intimacy is a result of love, and we'll get into that a little bit later, romance. In Song of Solomon 7:10, I am my beloved's, and His desire is towards me. And then finances. These can keep your marriage strong or destroy it. Finances. And 3 John 2, beloved, I pray above all things, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So communication, intimacy, and finances are what we need to strengthen our marriages in. Now, those are the three biggies. Those are the three biggest causes of divorce if they get out of hand, out of the will of God, out of the Word of God, away from the Word of God. And really boils down to not just intimacy and finances. It really boils down to communication. Because intimacy is communication, so is finances. And so it really boils down to communication. And so we have to learn each other's love language. You have to learn how to communicate biblically, not just let culture dictate or TV dictate or the workplace dictate or the good old boys or the family or the relatives dictate how to communicate. We need to communicate based on the Word of God. So let's look at communication. And I'll have Miss Debbie read that one scripture in 1 Peter 3. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. And, you know, communication, like everything, is a choice. Praise the Lord.
Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered.
And many times prayers are hindered because of attitudes, disrespect. And you know, husbands, your wife is not a man, she's a woman. And you have to, one translation says, dwell with her with intelligent understanding. And doesn't mean she's dumber, it means she's a weaker vessel. A man's body is obviously stronger and structured different. And thank God, different is good. Different isn't wrong, it's just different. Isn't that
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And God didn't make Adam and Steve, He made Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, relational versus functional. We need both in balance. And a lot of women, y'all know this, you're designed, you're wired and created by God to be relational. I mean, even little girls, they're pretending they'll have a little baby, a little, you know, toy baby, and they'll pretend it's a real baby, and they'll start talking 25,000 words a day. We're a little boy, he's functional, you know, and he'll make 8,000 tops, 8,000 words, grunts, and sounds a day. You know, it's all about function, you know. And we include the and all of those are words. All that's part of the 8,000, hallelujah. About 5,000 of those are mine right there. I like all those sounds. All right. We should have this attitude. Well, instead of saying, honey, where's my coffee? We should say, good morning, honey. Here's your coffee. you know, need to learn how to communicate by serving and by seeking each other's good. All right, communication is a decision. You make it work. It'll not change overnight, but you have to be committed to the process. You have to be committed to bringing change. Now, change isn't change until it's what? Change. And so you can start, and we've had people married over 50 years. They'd come to us and say, I wish we knew back then what we know now. But we can learn this, you know, to be a blessing to each other and to our kids and our grandkids. Praise the Lord. Just some fundamentals. Mm-hmm. You all know death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you can be sarcastic, character assassination, dig at each other, you know, cut each other down, or you can speak life. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. That's good job. That a boy. That kind of thing. James chapter 3 talks about your tongue is your steering wheel. It's an unruly evil tamed by no man, but how many know the Holy Ghost can tame your tongue?
Yes.
If you speak in tongues, that's even better. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb. 15 chapter of Proverbs, verse 30, good report makes the bones fat and healthy. Stop using words to destroy and stop now. Determine now. In fact, a good exercise to do is everything you say for the next 2 or 3 days or maybe even a week, put in the name of Jesus after it.
Good.
Honey, would you take out the trash in the name of Jesus? You know, it softens you right up, you know, when you bring the Lord on the scene. There's no such thing as a word void of power. Every word is a container, isn't it? Contains poison or contains life, death or life.
Right.
Isn't that right? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. We need to appreciate each other, not depreciate. We need whatever appreciates goes up in value, right? So we need to appreciate each other, work at it. And familiarity breeds contempt. When people feel, I feel like I'm losing my identity. The spirit of pride wants identity. You know, if I humble myself, I'm losing my identity. I must be a controller. I must be a control freak. I must be ahead of my house. Listen, being a dictator doesn't mean that you're the man.
Yeah.
It means you're a dictator.
That's right.
You know, by the way, whoever is called to be a leader is supposed to have the prerequisite of serving. In other words, whoever serves is qualified to lead.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Isn't that right? Jesus gave his life, right? He protects the church. And so whoever is willing to serve is qualified to lead. Spirit of pride gets on people. Pride wants an identity. But you lose your identity with Christ, praise God. And instead of you and I becoming a legend in our own mind, it's all about Him. Less of me and more of Him.
Amen.
All your dreams and visions are wrapped up together in one flesh. You should share each other's dreams. At the end of last year, the beginning of this, we shared each other's goals and dreams and are still working at it. And you know, you need to work at your family dreams and also your particular personal dreams. Debbie has just got done writing a book, and she's going to get it edited and polished and everything, and I'm all for a woman of faith. That's awesome. I don't know if it'll really help a lot of men unless they realize that if they apply those principles for their life, that they can really learn a lot about their woman of God. Hallelujah. How she's called to be a woman of faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Women need to live by faith, especially if they're married to some of you all. Amen. Or, excuse me, the people that aren't here. You know. Or the people that, never mind, y'all know. All right, so be best friends before sex partners. Very important. 1 + 1 = 1. Born again marriage. Need to hug and hold each other every day. It gives security. Be each other's helpmate and playmate. Listening is the key to communication. This holding the paper up, you know why she's talking to you? You know, she needs eye contact. She needs body language. Your face needs to be toward her. And how to improve communication? Encourage them to tell you more. Don't interrogate, but summarize what you have heard. Avoid defense and judgment. So it takes an involvement. You have to indulge in a conversation. You know, let me read you this one little story. And if we don't get through all this before our deadline time tonight, we'll just pick up where we left off. And I'll just read you this little story here. Excuse me, What are those women dressed in white doing? A tourist asked his guide. Oh, well, it's custom for brides in Jerusalem to pray at the Wailing Wall on the day of their wedding, he replied. Why? So they can get used to talking to a wall. Anyway. So you need to dignify her, men, by giving her eye contact. And we'll talk about how she's a responder and how we need, as men, to have the ministry of listening. Did y'all hear that? Works every time. Always catch them. All right. Listen to the tone of voice. Realize criticism is a plea for help. So, communication is just, these are just little tidbits. These are just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there's books on this stuff. Norman Wright's got good stuff. Dobson's got good stuff. Gary Smalley's got good stuff. Lots of resources out there. But, you know, it really, communication is really love being expressed. It's respect being expressed. You all know what prayer is?
Yeah.
Prayer is when we talk to God and we listen to God. It's not a grocery list of I wants or expectations. It's I want to hear God. It's a two-way conversation.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? So anyway, when she says, well, honey, what do you think about us meeting the kids for supper tonight? You know, and he's sitting there watching the paper. Well, sure, I'll watch the ball game with you. What's that got to do? I mean, he's totally answering a question that she didn't even ask. Removed. And this is a breakdown. And guess what? The devil will wind up somebody at the office or somebody out in the marketplace of a man that will listen to her and she'll transfer affection or be tempted to, and that's where adultery starts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It starts with just, you know, listening. She wants to be listened to. One of the best ways, gentlemen, for you to listen to your wife is nod your head and listen. Look at her and nod your head and act like you know what she's talking about. That's a start. Like one of those things in the back window. Amen.
Only really listen.
Only really, what?
Okay, 10 ways to avoid trouble. First of all, avoid criticizing. Like we talked about from the outset, we're just here to admit it and quit it, get it taken care of. Number two, forget who's to blame. Get to the point. What are we fussing about? How do we fix it? It doesn't matter who's right, who's wrong. We want the marriage to work.
Just fix it.
Number four, avoid absolute. You always, you never. We have to allow people room to change. Number five, don't dig up the past. Remember, we are walking in forgiveness. And forgive means forget. Number six, stay physically close. It's important to hug each other. You know, there's a temptation to space yourself away when you're angry and upset. But if you hold hands while you're arguing, you get it solved a lot quicker. You get it taken care of a lot quicker. Or if you put your arms around each other, stay close physically. Don't try to be right. Just fix the problem. It doesn't matter who's wrong, who's right. Remember, men, she's not a mind reader. You have to speak. We've been talking a lot about communication. She's not a mind reader. And this goes for women. If you're the quiet one, woman, and you need to work at communication, it involves speaking. Number nine, never confront to bring guilt. You don't want to point fingers. Number 10, never fight out of anger. Fight the devil. Get to the root. Don't fight out of anger and out of your emotions. It's the enemy.
Forget what you're arguing about.
Right. There are three ways we can react to situations. Number one is rejection. You can reject the person, call them names, stupid. Sorry you feel that way, but you're closed actually to what they're saying. You're putting it all back on them. Number two is toleration, which is just showing minor interest. And by the way, TV is a hindrance to communication. Shut the television off when you're trying to have a good conversation. Number three, or there is acceptance, which again, as Pastor Dan was talking about, give them your total attention, really listening. As a Christian, you need to care and communicate that you care. You really want to solve the problem. You really want this to work out. It doesn't cost you to touch, to talk, to smile. Remember, finances are one of the areas where the enemy can work to try to separate you, but it doesn't cost you anything to touch each other, to hold hands, or, you know, to be together. It doesn't cost you to talk. It doesn't cost you to smile. Don't quit doing what attracted your mate to you. Number one, respect. We must have respect for each other. Number two, romance. Keep at it. Men, you brought her flowers, you brought her chocolates, you called her just to say, I love you, just to hear her voice during the day, right? Well, keep it going. Just because you have her now, just because you're together now. Women, like Pastor Jan was talking about, you dress up for him. You made sure you looked pretty for him. You have to keep at working at those things. Number three, relationship, you have to fight for it. You have to fight for your marriage. There are all kinds of influences, cultural influences. And again, of course, we know the spiritual powers that are waged against keeping our marriage. There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. Relationship is based on respect, position, office, and experience. Fellowship is between equals. And you need to have fellowship together.
Praise God. You know, guys, you need to understand is that buying stuff like chocolates or roses or something like that is not an expense. It's an investment.
Amen.
And forgive us, gals, for talking like it's a business transaction. But that's part of that waffle mentality. $4, that's an investment. And he's thinking the returns will be awesome later.
Amen.
But you need to understand, you need to do stuff just because.
That's
not because it's her birthday, not because it's Mother's Day or Christmas or Easter or whatever, but just because you love her.
Amen.
Just you doing it.
Amen.
Just you doing it. Coming up, you know, and you know, I'm telling you right now, it's time to think about it not being an expense, but an investment, a blessing. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, in the time we have left, let's just start on this. We just have a few moments left. And this will make you want to come back and tomorrow because you'll want to hear all this. Affection. Let's talk about intimacy right now. Affection is love with meaning. It's produced through prayer, sharing ideas, thoughts, dreams, concerns without rejection. And, of course, the love chapter is there's 16 ingredients that make this recipe work. You know, if you take a cake recipe and you leave out the flour, just one item,
yeah.
You don't have a cake. You have a mess. You'll have what they call, what is it, in your pan. And that's how it is in the Corinthians 13 chapter. We have to put all those ingredients in there to make it work. Romance is the key to a successful marriage. It took dating to get her. It'll take dating to keep her. Isn't that right? And, you know, like Miss Debbie said, you know, you used to, you know, come and you, you know, dating is really based on deception. It's putting your best foot forward. And a lot of men, they like to obtain her, then they realize then after they're married they have to maintain. It's easier to obtain than to maintain. It's kind of like buying a brand new car. Oh, it's beautiful. You obtain it. Now you got to maintain it.
That's right.
And so I'm not saying she's like a car, but you know what I'm saying. Compartment stuff again, you know. The guys go, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And women are saying, is he calling us a car? There's that spaghetti, I'll tell you. So minister to the uniqueness of your spouse. Now, sex and its and the way God made it is vile, it's hellish, it's damnable, it's demonic, it's carnage, it's all those things and none of those things, depending on the context and by which it's expressed. If it's outside of marriage, it's all those things. But inside marriage, it's a gift and a blessing from God. God made it very good.
Amen.
And he made it for a reason. Amen?
Amen?
Isn't that right? So, anyway, men, your wife is designed and handcrafted to be received. She's a responder. You know, Eve was brought to Adam. And he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And in the Hebrew, he's excited. She shall be called woman. He's excited, literally excited, because of what he sees. And so a woman is, you know, when we look at a wedding environment where there's a, you know, the runner down the aisle and the pastor and the groom are standing up here, the pastor represents godly authority, the groom represents Adam, and the bride represents Eve. And when she comes down the aisle, she's being presented to him as a gift from God.
Amen.
And he must reach out and receive his gift from God.
Amen.
Women are meant to be received. If they don't feel received, if they don't feel listened to, they don't feel respected, they don't feel loved, they cannot respond the right way.
That's right.
They'll feel dirty, they'll feel used, they'll feel like a sex object, they'll feel like a piece of property. And in some third world countries, women are treated like goats and sheep, literally traded. Abraham Rababi, a good friend of ours, speaks 13 languages, lives out in Fresno. He did Holy Land tours for 28 years. He's in his 70s now, but when Carol was alive, she was a blue-eyed, blonde-haired, Anglo-Saxon, white American girl, and he's Lebanese, you know, beautiful bronze skin and dark hair. And when he'd go to the Middle East and go and do their outreaches and go speak in different churches and so on, there would be rich princes that would offer him gold and camels and sheep for Carol. And he says, honey, you know, if you don't stop arguing with me, I just might take him up on it.
No, he
and they
didn't
tell
say
these,
that.
He tells these funny stories, you know. He never really meant it, I don't think. But culture's interesting. Say this with me. I must receive my spouse as a gift from God. All right. All right. Anyway, her primary motivation is through her emotions. She needs a sense of strength and security. She's stimulated emotionally, more so than visually. And the Bible says in Proverbs 5, it warns us, and you can look all those scriptures up, to be satisfied with her alone. Song of Solomon is a celebration of a sexual love in the bedroom in the confines of marriage. Intimacy fulfills her womanhood. It reassures her of her husband's love, companionship, compassion, romance, affection, and passion, satisfies her sex drive, and relaxes her nervous system. It is the ultimate experience. Now, just if you'll hold that, sweetheart, please. I want to read this to you. This is pretty awesome. You know, as we wrote a little thing here, continuing to renew your marriage. Now, listen to this. Continuing to renew marriage relationship to stay all the way is extremely important. Marriage is the key to survival of our nation. Freud, Durant, Wright, and Dobson all agree that civilization prospers when marriages prosper. And the family prospers in a society where there are moral and sexual restraints. Mr. Unman, a British anthropologist, studied 80 civilizations covering a historical period of 4,000 years. He found that all the civilizations started with high moral values which declined over a period of time. Adultery, fornication became rampant, which led to the disintegration of the family. As the family disintegrated, within one generation, the nation fell. Mr. Unman discovered that sexual energy is the most creative of all energies. When a man is faithful to his wife, he has an abundance of sexual energy. He takes the energy and invents, creates, and produces. His family and the nation as a whole enjoy the fruit of his productivity. When a man strays, selfishly looking for his own pleasure, his creativity dies. The selfish, self-seeking individual is not nearly as creative as the unselfish, caring, giving individual. And the male needs affirmation from the most important person in his life. He not only needs it, he craves it, desires, has to have it. The woman responds to the word love, which she uses 287 different ways. But the most important communication to her is when her husband looks at her in the eye and simply says, I love you. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
When your husband has returned from work, it means so much to him to have your affirmation. I'm so proud of you, sweetheart. I'm so proud of the way you handled that situation. And then when the Miami Dolphins, listen to this, were in the playoffs, Bob Grease was the quarterback. He threw a 30-yard pass to Paul Warfield, who caught the pass and ran it in for a touchdown. With 65,000 people in the stands and millions watching on television, Paul Warfield headed for the one spot where he knew his wife was seated. She gave him their little sign of recognition. It didn't matter what the millions thought or the thousands cheering in the stands. It was the only approval of the one person in his life that truly mattered.
Amen.
And that's what we're talking about. Amen. Honey, you got 3 minutes.
We have a mixed crowd tonight, so I'll just refer to your, ask you to refer to your notes, ladies. Pastor Jan has read several things about the importance of fulfilling and being responsive to your husband, and that we have to realize that it is an important ministry. Don't let the devil cheat you and tell you that it's dirty. It's holy. It's beautiful. Yes. It's God-given. It's God-ordained. And it's wonderful in the marriage relationship. Amen.
In F on page 15, is a biblical term for sex from God's word. You'll see it a lot as knowing or the act of marriage. Okay? And so as you go through this, you'll begin to understand. It's very self-explanatory. And I'd like you to turn with me to page number 16, finances. I think we can end this. We are stewards, managers. Say we're good stewards of God's stuff.
Stewards of God's
by
stuff.
By the way, the word stuff is in the Bible. They're left behind to watch the stuff. We're to be managers, all right? God's managers. God is pleased when we manage money wisely. Now we're talking about finances, obviously. Move from intimacy to finances. All we have is His. God is displeased when we fail to manage it. God wants you to prosper, 3 John 2. Any biblical principles to see success, apply biblical principles to see success in your finances. Number one, tithe. That's the first fruits or the 10% of all your increase. Give, number two. Give and it shall be given unto you. Sow. The Bible talks about sowing. God gives us seed to sow. In fact, He gives seed to the sowers,
Amen.
Not to hoarders.
Amen.
Sowers. Isn't that right? And by the way, sowing or giving is connected to security. The more secure you are in your Christianity with the Lord, the more generous you are with your time, talent, and treasure. And compliments. Amen. Number four, you need to come into agreement on your finances. You know, very important. Money is the unseen force destroying most marriages. Learn to separate money from everything else. Larry King had an interview with a man in Black Monday back in the late 80s. People lost multi-millions of dollars. This one gentleman was on Larry King, and he said, "Sir, you've lost millions of dollars." And this other gentleman lost millions of dollars, but he took his life, committed suicide. What makes the difference between you and him? He said, "It's easy. I have a life apart from money. I remember how I got it. I can get it again. It's just money."
Amen.
You understand that money is your servant, not your master.
Amen.
All right? So I put that in there. Money is your servant, not your Lord. Most people experience a financial crisis because of of poor choices, poor budget, impulsive spending, unemployment, sickness, and unplanned emergencies. I don't mean to poo-poo anything, but our nation is in trouble in the mortgage industry. It's in trouble financially, and we need to get it back in biblical terms. Just imagine if everybody started tithing. Just imagine how this nation could turn around. You had a crisis before, you will make it. Praise God. And nuggets of strength in Proverbs 24:10, it says, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." Also, Ecclesiastes 7:14, it's not in your book, not in your notes, but in the day of adversity, consider. You know, in the day of adversity, but in the day of prosperity, rejoice. In the day of prosperity, rejoice, but in the day of adversity, consider. So when you come to an adverse problem in your finances, you need to consider it. Don't let a day go by. Don't let a week go by. In the day of adversity, check it out. Amen? And reprioritize your priorities. Let's skip down to point C. Adversity is the breeding ground for miracles. Let's go to point six. You need a budget. It's a necessary good. You got to have it. And all these other scriptures talk about why we need to have a budget, why we need to have money in our life. By the way, how many want to be blessed with finances more than enough that you can be blessed to be a blessing?
Yes. Yes.
When pastor says we're going to raise some money, you say, no problem, write out a check. Wouldn't you like to do that?
Amen.
Maybe pay off somebody's mortgage, buy them a car, something like that, you know. Happy is the couple who lives on what they need, not on what they want. The definition of prosperity is personal preference and geographical location, the ability to use the ability of God to help people. You need to stay in agreement. Remember, in a marriage, it's not my money, it's our money. Marriage is a partnership. One checkbook, one joint account, discuss purchases and bills. This forces you to communicate. Make a plan. And if there are problems in other areas of your marriage, it may show up in the financial area as well. Sometimes financial problems are a symptom of something deeper. Wives, let your husband lead. You know, whoever leads, of course, is responsible. The buck stops with the husband. He may be bad at accounting or checkbook balancing. That may be his strength. But the ultimate decision has to come down to working together and him making the choices. Isn't that right? And that protects the wife, too. You can help him become the man of God he wants to be. All right? Avoid the trap of debt. Debt is a horrible thing. Yeah. Teach your children the value of money. In other words, have them work for things. By the way, can I just introduce this thought? You can check it out later. Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University. You've heard of him. He talks about giving your kids a commission, not an allowance. In other words, they get a commission for what they do. And let's end with D here. And summary of session one. Remember, attention. Where there's tension, give attention. Learn to listen. Number two, affection. Speak it. Show it, do it, live it. When you give affection, boy, I'll tell you, people smile. If you want friends, you must show yourself what? Friendly, right? Works in every realm of life. Agreement, find something to agree on. This is the place of power. You know, a house divided against itself cannot stand. The place of agreement is the place of power. That's why pastor has you confess together to get you in agreement. That's why the worship team has you sing together, get you in agreement in the anointing. There's power in that. And then four, appreciation, a just estimation of things increasing value, an understanding of its worth as a treasure. Men and women think differently. It's not wrong, it's just different. So seek each other's differences. Debbie may think curtains are very, very important. I may think getting a new power tool is more important. Now we got it going on, honey. In fact, we're going to stay up the rest of the night discussing this matter. No, we're not. We got that settled already. She got her curtains. All right. Seek to minister one another's uniqueness. Learn to say thank you. By the way, thank you is the language of royalty. Jesus said it three times. It's in the New Testament. Royally, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords said thank you. We need to learn to say thank you too.
Amen.
Thank you will
Amen.
Give you favor in every language, in every nation. You're great. Brag on each other. Awesome. You're beautiful. You're pretty. You're handsome. Hallelujah. And then appointments. Remember, have an appointment with God. Debbie gets up very early every morning. She burns a kerosene little lamp on the dining room table, opens up her Bible, and she prays and she reads early in the morning. Then after I smell the coffee. All right. And then the spouse is second, and of course the kids are third. Make and keep them before others. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this tonight? I love you. Let's stand to our feet and give the hand clap for your pastor. Amen. Praise God. Come on, pastor.